The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and the Week in Comics, and this is the Robert Kirkman Week. We have a couple of books, actually three books to talk about by him. But we start this show off with a lot of fun. Hopefully gets you guys going, gets the weekend going right. Is it a long weekend for everybody, or has it been a long weekend since March? I don't know, but we're trying to have some fun. It's 4th of July. We got a little bit of Brightside fireworks. Then we get to some breaking news. We got Boys news, Seth Rogen, Mandalorian news. Haven't had that in a little bit. Wink, wink. But again, enough of me telling you what we did. Let's get in the store so you can hear it for yourself.
You're not expecting me to sing, are you?
Come on!
No way, man. No. Eddie.
This is gonna really pick up.
I know it's gonna pick up.
Come on, it's not getting you going.
You do not want to hear me singing on this podcast. Nobody wants that.
Come on. We've got listeners, they love this song. We've been talking about it for a month now.
I know. That's why we have listeners. That's why I'm not gonna subject them to
Tom Bellows. Come on, here we go.
Tom Bellows.
Twitter Tom followers said that.
Oh.
Come on, here we go.
I'll bop my head to the music, but that's it.
Stop, I'm going now, nothing is real. Come on, John.
No.
Why are you turning red?
Not gonna do it, man. Not gonna do it.
Like a dream. Think the rhythm is gonna get you. Come on, enjoy it.
Sorry to let you down. Oh. I'm enjoying it, but I'm not singing.
Hey, I got you laughing. I got you bright red in the face, and I'm the one making a fool of myself here. That was good stuff. Good stuff. We'll leave that play and let them send their lawyers after us.
Yeah, we definitely went over 30 seconds. That movie's so old, it's probably in the public domain by now.
Yeah. We have Twitter, Tom Bellows, I said, on Twitter said, I love Eddie and the Cruisers, and thanks to you guys, I've been listening to the soundtrack all week. However, can we agree that Michael Paré looks better in as a singer than John Cafferty? Did you see that?
No doubt. That's why they hired him for the movie.
Exactly.
John Cafferty.
But he tweeted the two photos of them. And you're like,
it, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I never thought John Cafferty was bad looking, but then you see him next to Michael Paré and you're like, wow. And
yeah.
I don't know if you saw my tweet back. I think I tweeted back to him about how, like, I thought that was Michael Paré singing.
I didn't ever. All the way up until the point where they released the soundtrack and you found out that it was somebody else. Even though it's right there in the credits that it says all songs performed by John Cafferty.
You read the credits?
Well, I did 2 weeks ago.
Oh, right.
I don't remember if I ever read them,
not
30 years ago.
No way. Yeah. No way. But
up until, and it's funny, we're going to talk more about Eddie and the Cruisers.
It's such
what's
a
funny
movie.
Is like when that movie first started coming out on HBO and we were watching it all the time, no soundtrack existed for it.
No.
Like the soundtrack didn't come out till a year or two after the movie was making the rounds, because I remember going to music stores and asking for it. And it never existed.
Oh, okay. I thought it only existed when we got cars. Because when I got, I'm like, I need that in my car. I gotta get the tape. No. And I wore that tape out. That song.
There wasn't one. Oh. Yeah. Oh, I know. Once it became available and I was able to buy it.
Yeah.
I think the tape broke probably because I played it so much.
Yeah. Jen and I went, speaking of which, I was going to mention it on the podcast last week, but I wasn't sure.
And by the way, kids, a tape is what we used to have to listen to music on. Because like half of our listeners don't even know what we're talking about right now.
A tape?
Is
that scotch?
What are you talking about?
Or masking?
You had to go to the record store? You couldn't just download it?
We had to go to the record store for a tape. And
Alexa couldn't just play it for you?
No, I know.
Now Alexa's talking to me here in my
strawberries.
Office.
Went to Strawberries, got my tapes, my records, and my tickets to the shows.
Yeah, whatever was at the Lincoln Mall, whatever music store was there, that's where I used to go looking for that stuff.
You used
to have to reach your hand into the, they had like the plastic in front of the tapes with the holes cut out.
Oh, yeah.
You used to have to reach your hand in there to get it.
Yeah, it was like you won a prize.
Yeah.
We went down to Christian's over to Albany this last weekend for his 50th party. Yeah, I was going to mention it last week, but I wasn't sure if he was a listener.
So screw him if he's not.
He's not.
Right? So we don't
he
want,
is now.
We don't want to talk. We don't want to acknowledge him if he's not.
He is now. He is now. Okay. I talked to him this past weekend and he's like, so you're talking to John all the time? And I'm like, yep. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, check it out. So I texted him, all the links and stuff and he's going to check it out. He's not into comics like we are. He's a lot smarter. I went to WPI, you know, engineering.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a smart guy.
Yeah. Amazing. He was friends with us.
Yeah.
But so the 2-hour drive out there, we listened to that. Jen and I listened to that soundtrack beginning to end
back and forth
twice. And we were like, we were rocking out to it, singing along, having a blast. And I was like, why not open and close the show with that? I haven't done an opening and closing like that since Christmas when we used to do the Christmas songs. And
yeah,
you know,
meaning you.
Yeah. But. You don't have to say that. But I know it's 4th of July weekend. Happy 4th of July to everybody. I thought Born in the USA is too on the nose. So I went with. And we've been talking about that for a month. So we might as well keep it running. As a matter of fact, Dr. Joe, our buddy Dr. Joe, he DM'd me. And he's like, hey, what's that movie you've been talking about for a month? And I was like, what movie? Cause we talk about a movie a week, right? And I'm like, I don't know, which one? He goes, the one you've been talking about for a month. And I go, Eddie and the Cruises? He goes, yeah, that's it. Like, so apparently we're not talking about it enough because he forgot.
Cause he didn't know the name, right?
He
knew we kept talking about it, but he didn't know the name.
Right.
I know. I bought the DVD. What? Like, Two weeks ago,
yeah.
And it came in the mail, and I sent you a picture of it, all proud of it. And you're like, oh, I just got the Blu-ray. And I was like, oh, shit.
Language.
They have a Blu-ray. So I ordered the Blu-ray. And so after I watched the movie, I texted a picture of the Blu-ray cover to my sister. And I was like, look what I just watched. And she's like, I love that movie. So I gave her the DVD the other day.
Gave her the cheap version.
Yeah. And, I sent it with my mom to give to her because my mother sees her all the time. I don't hardly ever see her. She sent me a picture last night with the DVD next to her VHS tape. And she says, sweet, now I have an upgrade. And I was like, great.
That's awesome. That's and you know what? This is – Eddie and the Cruises has turned into the good virus. It's spread in the nation.
I know it.
It started at the Bright Side and it spread to like 7 people.
That's right.
We're spiking.
It's like hands across America.
We're spiking, John. We're spiking.
Yeah.
No. And hey, moving off of that, I have first things first. I have to get to TJ, my buddy TJ, Ted Jackfany. Did you see his tweet that he tweeted out? Not assuming gender, but I think it's a boy. He's having a boy.
Oh,
well, his wife.
Well, congratulations.
Is. Yeah.
His wife is.
He put, they, I guess they have, I don't, this is a new thing. They didn't have it back when we had kids. The gender reveal thing.
I know. I had to go to a gender reveal party for my
did you?
Daughter. Yeah. A couple of months ago. And I was like, I don't know what a gender reveal party is. And we went to this party and they had, my stepdaughter obviously didn't know what she was having. and they were doing a reveal to her of what her baby was going to be. And I was like, this is the strangest thing I've ever been to.
Yeah. And I had two these, gender like, reveal parties.
They have these, like, confetti cans, and that's how they reveal it. Like, they shake them up and they pop them, and then either it comes out pink or blue, and that's how you know what you're going to have.
Well, this is a little bit TJ's was a little bit more elaborate. He got, a hockey puck, and he took a slap shot, and the thing exploded blue.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, he put it down on some synthetic ice in the backyard, shot it at a fence, and it exploded blue. And yeah. I don't know. How do you know? Like, does the doctor give you something, or does one of you have to
what
know?
What it is
does
like my stepdaughter went
textbook
for her
bright
appointment.
Side chat, by the way.
Yeah, my stepdaughter went for her appointment, and my other, like, her sister went with her. So the doctor tells the sister.
Okay.
Who tells the whole, like, we all knew what it was going to be.
Oh.
She just didn't know.
Oh.
And
so
most
I guess
of the other
depends.
Guests didn't know.
Yeah, I guess it
technically
depends
I wasn't
on
supposed
how many,
to know either.
Right.
We weren't supposed to be told, but I knew. But yeah, so everybody knows except for, like, the person that's having the baby. And so, yeah, they do this reveal tour. But yeah, that's how they do it. Somebody else goes with you that gets the information, and then they plan the party. So
Right.
Yeah.
I had two gender
but yeah, that
reveal
wasn't a thing.
Parties when I was...
Me too. They were born.
Yes, exactly. It was me, yeah. My wife, a couple doctors, a nurse, you know. We whooped it up.
Yep. that's how you find out.
But, yeah, so, hey, to quote Jurassic Park, you are going to have comics in this podcast, aren't you?
Yeah. I know, this is like...
we're like
we're all over the place on
this
one.
We start
Eddie
and the Cruisers, pregnant
gender
people.
Reveal parties, and...
It's
what our listeners tune in for.
Right. If we still have any. But
you are planning on having dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour, aren't you?
No. Yeah, so let's get to a couple other comments before we move on. So, Dr. Joe, 2020 has been a crazy year, but my gut tells me nudie should tear into this movie like I tear into a package of Oreos. But the way things are going, I won't be shocked if John and DJ somehow convince me to watch this and this movie again. Talking
is that
about
what?
Yep,
Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider. Talking about Ghost Rider on Monday. And I said, awaiting your reaction. And I don't think he ever got back to us on that. He sent us a picture, hell yeah, a meme or whatever. But
We didn't tear into it necessarily.
No, that's right.
Neither one of us liked it really all that much. But
no, we didn't think it was great, but it was entertaining. It was fun.
Yes.
We had a good time with it. And that's what it's for. We'll see what Mondays is like.
Yeah, I won't say anything.
Oh, all righty. Yeah. And we had a tweet from, do you want to say it since you said it correctly last time? Benjamin,
I don't know
Benjamin
what
Teasma?
We're talking about.
Benjamin Teasma from last week from Dead Body Road, Bad Blood. These guys had a lot of nice things to say about Dead Body Road, Bad Blood, actually. And they even said my name right. Huzzah! Around the 104 mark, I think.
Oh, so, really? I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, I retweeted it and everything. So you're not following
me
very well.
I don't pay attention on Twitter. I don't really go on Twitter.
But it's me.
And you know what I realized? That if I'm not specifically tagged in these tweets, I'm not seeing them. Because I don't follow, I don't log on to the Brightside Twitter page.
You should set your alerts to
think
everything that Brightside says, because we are gold.
Yeah.
That's not just to you, John, that's to everybody.
Yeah, but I think that's why I'm missing a lot of them, because if, like I said, if Arkham Comics isn't actually tagged in the tweet, I don't see a lot of them, so...
You should actually have been tagged in that one because
you were tagged
in the original one.
I might have been in that particular one, but I'm just saying, I think a lot of times when I don't see these tweets, it's because I wasn't involved in the conversation at all. So,
well, yeah, he retweeted with comment our original tweet, which you were tagged in when I released the podcast. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
No, I didn't
see
that.
He listened
but that's
and went all the way to the 105 mark.
I know, right? Look,
we didn't lose him at the beginning.
He probably stopped there, but
I know. So what do you got for news?
What do I have for news? Let me take a look and see.
Look at that. I got you all out of balance.
You did. Well, you tried to get me to sing and
I just tried to get you to have fun. Hey, let everybody know that's what you looked like at the high school dances too. If you can picture his silence, that's pretty much the way his hips moved.
That's right.
Just stood there. Is it a slow song? I can spin in a circle.
I can dance to the slow song.
Rock back and forth.
Yep. All right. So it looks like we have
the premiere date with you.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say
it was more of an observation than an experience.
How do you know? Like, why were you paying that much attention? Because I can't tell you what you were doing. I really don't recall.
Yeah, I was 4'10". You probably didn't see me.
That's true.
I was buried in girl
until senior year.
Yeah,
then you were taller than me.
I looked like a midget on stilts.
So Amazon has released the premiere date for The Boys. Season 2, which is September. But what I thought was interesting is that it looks like they're going to they're changing their distribution on this show.
Half and half, isn't it?
Well,
oh,
they're
no,
going to
no,
drop
it's
the first
3 and 1.
Yeah, they're
nice.
Dropping the first 3
That's
episodes
right.
and then the last 5 will air weekly. So, I actually like that. I think a lot more shows are going to adopt that style as opposed to like the Netflix drop it all at once style. And I think, like The Mandalorian, I think had quite a bit to do with that.
It's
and it
the
makes
water
more
cooler
sense,
talk.
I think, for a lot of these streaming services to do this more because, you know, it facilitates a visit every week back to your platform. You know, I mean, you watch The Boys, it drops on a Friday and you watch the whole thing by Saturday. And then, like, you don't have to go to Amazon Prime again until the next thing comes out. At least this way, you know, you're going 5 weeks in a row, and then maybe something pops up on the banner at the top and keeps you there to watch something else afterwards. So I think we're going to see a lot more things adopt this. I know we talked – wow. I don't know. Everything now feels like 6 months ago. I don't know how long ago it was. But even Netflix is going to start pursuing this model with some of their releases. So – kind of like the drop it all and binge days maybe coming to an end, which, you know, again, I can go either way because sometimes I like to be able to just sit down and watch it all at once.
Yeah.
Especially, if I have a weekend, like a Sunday to kill, I don't want to have to find 12 different things to watch. It's nice to be able to just put something on and let it run all the way to completion. But there's also something to be said for, like, the conversations you have every Wednesday in your store about just the last episode of whatever show you watched, you know.
Right. And that's the thing. It's that water cooler talk and how you get from every episode, you know, the suspension from every episode. And it's – but I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think the binge watching, that is. I don't think it'll go away because I think it's a nice balance to have each.
And you can also just wait. Like, I could just wait 5 weeks.
Right.
And watch it all at once if that's what I want to do. The problem is, you know, if you're somebody that cares about spoilers or if something's going to be talked about a lot, like The Mandalorian or something like that, you don't want to be behind, you know?
Right. Exactly. And I think it's funny the people that wait and then binge it all at once.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they just can't take that anticipation between shows. I think there's room for both formats, and I think it'd be great if they kept both formats because that's, you know, it just gives you that much variety. Because there are some shows that, you want to blast through, but then, like, Daredevil, I say all the time, I did that one episode, it came out all at once, Daredevil season one, that was, like, the first show I really went at like that. And then I did one episode every morning, and, you know, you just enjoy it and move on to the next day, so... Hey, to each his own, but I think there's room for both.
Yeah. So, all right. Next, it looks like Seth Rogen and his production company have signed on with Nickelodeon to do another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
It's about time.
I don't know if you heard Ralph talking about this today on his show, but this is exactly how I feel about this movie. You know, it's just like when you make a copy of a copy,
copy
of a copy.
Copy, yeah.
Now, that being said, I was excited for this just knowing that with, like, Seth Rogen being involved, maybe they were going to go a little bit more adult and dark. in tone with it and be closer to the comics. But then I realized they were partnering with Nickelodeon, and so that's probably not going to happen. You know, because the one thing we haven't really seen is, you know, like a darker version of the Turtles, you know, where they're, you know, like I said, a little bit more ruthless and kind of the way they were in the,
the original in the comics.
Yeah. The one thing I do like about this, though, is that it looks like this is a purely CGI movie. And I think that's the way the Turtles need to be. Like these kind of live action guys in suits versions that we've been getting.
Yeah.
They look, to me, they look terrible. You know, they're giant anthropomorphic turtles. They shouldn't be done in live action. I think like CGI or like the Pixar version
CGI,
or something. Like
CGI,
that's the way they need to
be. CGI is so good now that there's no reason to do it that way. I mean, we enjoyed, like we said, when we did Fantastic Four and we had the thing in the rubber suit, and it was okay for 2000 and what was that, 4 or whatever, 2005. Yeah. And but now to do it, you have to do it CGI because they can do it so well that
I think that's just the way it needs to be. And
like you said, though, how about what if they did go with a dark version, like the original Turtles that wasn't a kid's comic?
No.
And they go in that direction, that would get away from that idea, like you said, like Turtles have gone from a copy to a copy to a copy, and what if they went back to their roots? I think it would bring in a lot of people like us.
I think it would, and I think that's the only thing that would bring me around to wanting to see this movie. Because otherwise, I don't know if I'm down for just another copy of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. They're all the same.
Right.
You know? I'm a Turtles fan. I'm not as big of a Turtles fan as you are. But I mean, I still, you know, I like the Turtles. I grew up in the 80s, so, you know, it's hard not to. But, I'm not really too excited for this unless they do something different with it. So, we'll see. You know, and the fact that they announced this today, nothing can go into production, so who knows when this is going to happen. But,
well, you
know,
we do have The Witcher going back into production. That was in the
news. Well, I think, Falcon Winter Soldier is going back into production too.
Oh, cool.
Because Anthony Mackie was talking about that the other day. So, maybe, but again, now we're all spiking again all over the country. So who knows?
I think a lot of these places are outside of the country though.
And go right back out again. You know, who knows? We'll have to see, but, last thing I have, this was announced today too. It looks like they're going to start doing a series of, novels and comic books and things like that, having to do with the Mandalorian, I want to say Mandalorian universe. Obviously it's still the Star Wars universe, but I guess his little slice of the universe.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool too. Like, you know, I love the shows, but you know, to get some more things expanded on, maybe a lot more of his roots and his beginnings, would be pretty interesting. You know, I'd definitely be down for that. So I'm glad that that's something they're doing. You know, I'm really looking forward to the High Republic books that are getting ready to come out here at the end of the summer. So, I'm interested to see what they do with some of the other slices of the universe. So.
Yeah, and to capitalize on the, you know, Mandalorian hype right now and to bring it to the comics to maybe even just give backstory to what we know from the show and that could lead us into, you know, season two, or actually these probably wouldn't even come out until after season two.
Yeah, this would be, if anything, between season two and three.
Right. So even more stuff, you know, stuff to build on and to hold us over. Because, I mean, we're wanting more Star Wars stuff. And speaking of Star Wars stuff, did you see the multiverse talk?
I did. I was actually reading that today. I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't have it listed here in my notes. And I wasn't going to bring it up because it's just total nonsense. Like, none of that's ever going to happen.
But, Snyder cut.
Yeah, well.
I think it would be a shame. For people that don't know what we're talking about, if you haven't heard, there's a rumor going around that Favreau and the powers that be or whatever are working to basically, you know, uncanonize the last three episodes of the Sky- Skywalker Saga, which do we get a refund on our set?
Yeah, right.
but yeah, they wanted to put it into the multiverse, and there's actually something in canon in season 4 of Clone Wars. I think it was episode 13, if I remember right. I read something like that.
The mirror.
Yeah, and there's a multiverse in there where they could actually say that those three episodes were part of a multiverse and then bring it back around to, you know, I saw one report talking about, you know, Leia can't fly like Mary Poppins. Right. And it's like,
yeah, I read that too.
You know, they all have each, if you're going to do that, you got to go through the entire nine. Right. They all have their warts, you know,
they do,
but you can't. I don't
now to be fair, I am all for the idea of exploring like a multiverse and maybe alternative timelines to the Star Wars saga, but I don't think we should decanonize or try to, you know, undo what's already been done. And you know, I mean, those three movies gross somewhere around $6 billion. So I don't think Lucasfilm is looking at those as a failure in any way. Yes, a lot of people don't like them. Well, a lot of people don't like the prequels either, but nobody's talking about, why don't we just cut out all but the three movies that people seem to like and start from scratch again? Oh, I forgot. Half of them are dead now. So, yeah. You know, it's just ridiculous. But like I said, I would love to see, I think we even talked about this a couple weeks ago, like a what if series with Star Wars, you know, where we go down some different paths and, you know, what if, you know, Vader didn't go to the dark side or Anakin, you know, different things like that. And I think those would be cool things to explore, but they're never no news is good news with Gary Gnu.
Yeah.
They're never going to, like I said, decanonize or get rid of those movies. So,
no. I mean, you'd have to change all the Skrulls, you know.
Yeah.
In a galaxy a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you know, long times ago, that wouldn't make sense. Too many times.
Well, and then, like you said, they're, you know, as much money as they made from the movies, now that they're going to be selling Blu-rays of these movies till the end of time. Like, if you decanonize those things, who's going to buy them anymore?
Right.
Like, oh, if you make these movies irrelevant, then you're not going to sell any more merchandise surrounding them for the rest of their rest of their life cycle. And that's never going to happen.
Right.
It's way too much money involved in this franchise. The Skywalker saga is done, but it's going to make money until the end of time. Like, it's just never going to stop. So there's no way they would do something like that. But it was an interesting read, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. Funny. I wouldn't say interesting. I'd just say it was funny.
Yeah.
But, all right. Is that all you have?
That's all we have for news. Yeah. I didn't have too much.
Once you take off all the rumors from that company that shall not be spoken.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Speaking of them, though, have you seen any of the Ray Fisher stuff the last couple of days? Like,
no.
Now he's like, I guess once upon a time he was like speaking on behalf of Joss Whedon and kind of defending him, you know, for things that were being said about the Justice League. And I guess now that the Snyder Cut is happening, now he's out there basically backtracking everything he said and talking about how bad it was to work with Josh Whedon and all that stuff. And I don't know, like, regardless of what it was, I just think that's such a bad look. And, like, to me, it paints this Ray Fisher guy who, you know, is nobody, right? Like, he was in a Justice League movie that nobody remembers, and he's never done anything else as far as I know. So, like, I don't know who he is to get up on a platform and start talking about, you know, what other people are doing.
But I haven't seen it.
But even still, I just think that's such a bad look. Like,
right.
You know, to get out there and, number one, it makes you look wishy-washy. Like, it makes you look worse than anybody because you're the one that can't make up your mind. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. Again, it's something where I really only read the headlines. I didn't go deep into the stories, but that's what I got from the headlines anyways.
Right.
So,
all right. You ready to get into some books?
Sure.
All righty. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, well, we had like three books come out this week, so take your pick. So actually, the first thing we're going to look at is actually the Free Comic Book Day book for Firepower, which is the new Robert Kirkman book. Looks like this is actually selling for between $4 and $7 right now. So
it was free and we're calling it sold out?
Yeah.
It was given out.
So but it's sold out in the sense that we can't order any more copies.
I get you, yeah.
But there is a... I know. But there is an aftermarket value for this. Now, most stores should be giving this away for free at this point. You know, Free Comic Book Day, which is... This is something we never really addressed. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they kind of announced their plans for Free Comic Book Day for 2020. And they've basically turned it into Free Comic Book Summer, which is, you know, a
like
small
a book
assortment...
A week.
Yeah, a smaller assortment of books that are going to be coming out every week, you know, from July through the end of August or whatever. I don't know what most stores are doing. I know a lot of stores are just opting out and not really participating in this. Without, like, the actual event of a Free Comic Book Day, where retailers can actually recoup some of the money that they spend on all of these books, there's no real financial incentive to pay for these books in advance and just hand them out to the customers that are coming in weekly for their regular comics anyways. You know what I mean? So I know, like, for me, I'm not even participating. I ordered these and I ordered the Marvel books because they are tied into events that are happening and I'm going to give them away to people that participate in the event. So that being said, that's what most stores are probably doing this week with Firepower number one. So you should be able to get into a store and get one of these for free. But they are, like I said, they are selling on eBay for some money. So, you know, if you get one, do with it as you will, I guess. But
I have one.
I have several.
Well,
you know, I got a lot more of these than I did actual the book to sell to go with it because this was a Free Comic Book Day book, so I ordered quantity of them. This was one of the ones that for some reason we weren't able to adjust. Like Free Comic Book Day books have been on FOC for the last few weeks so that we can, you know, adjust them up or down depending on what our needs are. This one was not, so we were locked into whatever quantities we ordered when we were planning for Free Comic Book Day. So I got a stack of these things that I've got way more than I'm ever going to need. So maybe some of them will go up on eBay from $4 to $7. But yeah, anyway, that was
a good
that.
Book. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Mad Magazine issue 14. This one was a weird one too, because, there's a lot of the heat surrounding this. This is, I guess, Al Jaffe's last Mad Magazine.
Oh, okay. Is that the one today?
That's the one that came out today. Wow. This one is actually selling anywhere between $60 and $100 right now on eBay. You know, I mean, Al Jaffe obviously is legendary in the cartooning world, and I mean, he's been on Mad Magazine for 150 years, you know. you know, he's basically synonymous with Mad Magazine, so this one had a lot of interest. I don't know how many of them are out there. Like, Mad Magazine doesn't sell like it used to. I only order like 2 copies a month of Mad Magazine. You know, I always sell out of them, but when I've ordered more, I seem to, like, 2 seems to be my magic number.
Yeah.
So that's what I order. Yeah.
I get a copy every month.
Oh, do you?
Yep.
Yeah. See, I haven't even read a Mad Magazine in 30 years.
I flipped through it like when we were kids. It's different than when we were kids, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, go out and pick up a Mad Magazine, this week. And of course, you know, the big book of the week was Negan Lives, issue number one. You know, the main cover really seems to just be selling for cover price. I mean, there's a lot of demand for it, but there's no real speculator pricing. But the gold and silver variants, like we talked about last week. Now they've come crashing down back to earth since their highs of last week. You know, last Wednesday when we did this, the gold variant was selling for almost $500, and the silvers were selling for $250-ish. I should have sold them on eBay then because they're worth a lot less now. The golds, even when these notes came out yesterday, the golds were selling for $275. They've dropped down sub $200 now. $175 to $180 seems to be the going price on these. The silver variants are now down below $100. seem to be selling really between $50 and $80. So still good profit for the stores, but a lot more affordable for the collectors if you want to go out and get them. It's hard to predict what they'll do in the future, whether they'll continue to climb back up or they'll drop down. There's still a finite number. Like, there's the same number of them now as there was a week ago when people were paying $500 for them. There's still the same amount of comic book stores, and there's the same amount of copies out there. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to be like in the future, but if this is something that you want, I think now is the time to get them because the prices have come down, I think, as low as they're going to come. I think once the stores start to sell them, the prices will start to climb back up again. So,
nice.
And then last but not least, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends number 24. The 1 in 10 variant was done by Kevin Eastman. These are listed all over the place on eBay, anywhere between $45 and $100, which seems really astronomical for a 1 in 10 variant. None of them are really selling that I could see. It just looks, I mean, they're just listed really high. I don't know why, but it's not like it's the first cover he's done, you know, in 30 years. He does them every month. So, but something about this one has them listed all over the place. So if you can grab one, you know, at your store for $10-$15, it's probably worth picking it up. And that's it for Speculator Corner.
All right.
We had more books on this list this week on a week where we only had 6 books come out. Than we do on most weeks when 50 books come out.
Right.
So,
yeah, I know. Weird. You're like, oh, it's been a slow week, and there they go. Nice list.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to back issue bonus then.
Yeah, so first one we have is Static, issue number 1. This is from Milestone Comics. This book is on the rise again. There's some talk about this character maybe starting to make some appearances. Selling for between $20 and $30. I guess there's a blue variant cover that seems to be a little bit more desirable than the rest, but they're selling for around the same price. So definitely one to watch if that character, you know, is on the rise. A couple of years ago, Marvel did a series of hip-hop variant covers. For whatever reason, a lot of these are starting to spike up in value. So you check back issue bins. Like, the problem is there's a ton of titles that these were on, so you have to know which ones you're looking for. There's not going to be a section in your store called Marvel Hip Hop Covers. But, you know, there's probably a lot of these in back issue bins still, you know, because they were sitting at cover price or less for a long time. The biggest ones to look at are the Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales versions because, you know, as we've talked about, those characters are,
are
super hot right now. And then there's a Vision cover as well that's one to look at, so go out and try to grab those. Amazing Spider-Man number 4 from I think this is the 2015 or 2016 series. This is the first appearance of Silk. We've talked about it a couple of times. This one's keeps rising as well. $90 to $100 is what it's selling for right now, so it's only going to continue to go higher as rumors of Silk appearing in future movies keep getting talked about. Also a character that's perfect to show up in, like, Into the Spider-Verse 2. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'm calling it here now.
Calling the shot.
Yeah, that this character will appear in that movie. I'd be very surprised if she doesn't, actually. And she's actually one of my favorite. I like Silk a lot more than Spider-Gwen, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
As a character, yeah. I like the character more. So, it has the potential to be pretty popular if they do something with her. This is the new one to the list. Civil War 2, issue number 4. This is the first appearance of the Immortal She-Hulk. So they have made an announcement that there's going to be an Immortal She-Hulk one-shot coming out here in the future. And it sent people scrambling back for what they're assuming is her first appearance. And it's this, Civil War 2, number 4. Selling for about $15 right now. There are a ton of variants because obviously Civil War II was a big event, I think 2 summers ago. So there's tons of variants. The 1 in 10 variant is pushing $30. So these should be out there. You should be able to still get them. I had 6 copies of this in my back issue bin. So prior to today, they were $4. Now they're $15. But but like we ordered tons of copies of Civil War.
Don't go
War
to
too.
Arkham Comics and Games.
Well, or do come and buy them for $15.
Right.
But yeah, this is one that should be out there in some quantity. So. Might be worth grabbing because we all know, you know, again, this is just speculation because of what happened with the Immortal Hulk, you know, a year and a half ago and how hot that became.
Yep.
So, you know, there's no guarantee that's going to happen with the She-Hulk, but, you know, people, that's, again, definition of speculation. So don't sleep on it if you want it. And then last but not least, we have Silver Surfer Black number 4. This is just from last year. And this one sold out at the time off the rack, so it was hot even when it came out. Yeah. But this is the first appearance of Black Winter. For anybody that read Thor number 5 last week, you'll know why that's important. And this is selling for up to $20 now. So definitely one that you want to pick up. After Thor number 6 comes out, this will probably be even higher. So get it now.
Listen to John, everybody.
Calling my other shot.
Exactly. All right, let's get to FOC for next Monday.
I know, I have a business to run, so.
Oh, here we go, there's cracks in the armor already.
Yeah,
here we go.
I have a business to run. So DC has a couple of variant covers that were worth looking at. Yeah, Tom. Wonder Woman 759 has a really cool black and white Jim Lee variant cover. And then Suicide Squad number 7 has a really good Jeremy Roberts variant cover. There was no new series listed from DC on this week's FOC, so those are the ones to look at. Marvel had variant cover for Amazing Spider-Man number 45, Mark Bagley. It was a pretty cool cover. And then a couple of new series. They have Empire Captain America, issue number 1 of 3. Obviously, this is a tie-in to the Empire storyline. There's multiple covers for that. And then X-Factor number 1, which is the next wave of X-books that will have white pages in them. And there's multiple covers for this. Also of note on this FOC, I didn't list it because it's not newer variant covers, but the X-books seem to be back on FOC. So looks like in a couple of weeks we'll start getting some of those X-Men books back in the store.
Which, all right.
I know it's been a while since we've had any of those. That's it from Marvel.
I missed the white pages.
I was going to say, you might even be looking forward to the white pages by then.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Let's see. From Vault Comics, we have Vampire the Masquerade, which is a new series. Looks like an ongoing series. I think this is based on an old card game, actually. Wizards of the Coast, who does Magic the Gathering, had a game back in the late 90s called Vampire the Masquerade, and I think this is based on that, which is pretty cool. That was a cool world. There's three covers.
Been a while
for
since
that.
I read a vampire book.
Yeah, right? Just, you know, what time is it?
That's a new thing, right?
Yeah. This one you'll like. From Zenoscope, we have Robin Hood Justice, issue number 1.
Here we go.
Multiple covers for that. And from Devil's Due Comics, we have Ark World, issue number 1. And there's multiple covers for that. That's it from FOC.
All right. Let's get to the fun stuff now. Not that we haven't been having fun, but...
Yeah, it's all fun.
Yeah. Let's get to checkout.
All right.
I think we checked out everything the same this week because there wasn't much. And you sent me the list and I was like, every single one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to do my second one first, actually.
All right.
So my second book, which we're going to talk about first, is Negan Lives, number 1, from Image Comics. Obviously, we went over the story of this last week. This one is weird to me to actually be on, like, a checkout or a recommended reading list, because this is the type of book where, like, if you read The Walking Dead series, you're going to buy this book and read it. You don't need it recommended to you. And if you didn't read The Walking Dead series, you're probably not going to pick this up and read it. I know that you did, but most people probably won't. So,
and that's why I wanted to talk about it. That's
why it's
kind of
like
an
all or nothing thing. But yeah, this book was really good.
It was excellent.
You know, even for you, who really arguably has no history and doesn't know anything about the character.
That's not arguably. I want to get into that.
Could still enjoy the book. But for me, you know, it was kind of left a little bit of a mystery what happened to Negan throughout the end of The Walking Dead. Because, you know, he disappeared like basically 20 issues before the series ended. And so really when it ended, you didn't get a lot of tie-up for him. Other than that, the very last line in Robert Kirkman's like epilogue to the series was Negan lives. So
right,
So it's just pretty cool.
That's why I wanted to do a Kryptonite Key Club with this, because I wanted to talk to you about it. I just thought it was an awesome book, especially for somebody that I have zero knowledge of Walking Dead. From reading it or watching the show. I never read a book. I never watched the show because, one, I'm not into zombies.
Right.
Two, I wasn't reading comics when this all started. And then by the time I got back into it, it was such a deep book at that time. I know you binged it, what, a year ago or so?
Yeah, about a year ago, I read all 193 issues. And it is daunting, don't get me wrong. Now, again, if you read this book, you know, there's a lot of pages. Like, there's a lot of drawings. Well, but I mean, there's a lot of just pages with no words.
Right.
So you can go through it.
It flips quick.
You can go through it relatively quickly, but it was still 193 issues, regardless. Even if it boiled down to, like, 120 full issues, it's still a lot of reading. So,
right. And with all the other things going on and all the books I'm reading, it was a non-starter. It was, you know, I'm like... And like I said, I'm not a big zombie person. So that being said, this book answers everything. Like, if you're new to this and you've never read A Walking Dead, pick this up. Because I'm hoping that this restarts. I hope this is the first of many. Because it was that good. And it gave you enough backstory. This was written for people like me, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for people like you. People, Walking Dead fans will love this book. But I think if you've never read Walking Dead, you're going to be able to pick this up. And there are notes in here to reference, to fill you in on enough backstory to understand this entire book. And the feel of this book and the emotion in this book is awesome.
Yeah.
And obviously the artwork is typical from The Walking Dead. Like I said, I've never read a book. I know what it looks like.
Yeah, it's the same artist. He picked up issue 6 and did every issue after that. So
right. So I thought the writing was awesome. I thought the story flowed and it had ebbed and flowed, but it was just a great book, and I can't wait to get into it a little bit more with you, get some a little bit more backstory and stuff. But
sure,
we'll move on from there. So
okay,
next book.
All right, so the next book I read was Firepower. From Image Comics. Oh, yep. I guess let me back up. Negan Lives, obviously Image Comics, written by Robert Kirkman, art by Charlie Adlard. Again, if you know The Walking Dead, you know the people involved. It's the same people. But we always mention it, so I figured I would mention it. And then Firepower, this is the week of Robert Kirkman, really. Cause Firepower is the new series from Robert Kirkman. This one has art in co-created by Chris Samnee, and then had inks by Matthew Wilson. So this came out, there's two Firepower books this week, because there's this prelude, which is actually a graphic novel. It's 156 pages. And then issue number one is actually the Free Comic Book Day issue that came out today. Now that'll be the same thing when they actually go to print and there's an issue number one. It's going to be the same book. You just get an opportunity to get it for free now.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. From what I understand, it's this. From what I read, it's the same book when number one comes out. Actually, I don't even think there is a number one, because if you look at the back of that Free Comic Book Day book, it gives you the dates for number two and number three. But not number one. I think it actually is that book. It's just not... I don't think it's numbered as a number one.
Well, number two comes out June 3rd.
Yeah, I know. Number three should already be out, according to that. But
yeah. Well, no, number three came out today.
Today, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a little funny. And I don't know if you get to read the the epilogue or whatever that Robert Kirkman did at the end of this, but it goes into kind of like the reasons why it was done this way, because this is the first time I'm aware of that, like, the prelude or the introduction to a new series is done in a, you know, basically a 156-page graphic novel. And this, you know, it's $10, which is a good deal for this book, because, I mean, heck, there's a lot of regular comics that are coming out at $7.99 or $8.99, and you're not getting 156 pages of it. So, the order of reading is to read the graphic novel first, and then you read the Free Comic Book Day book. Although, if you do it opposite, it doesn't really matter.
Actually, Slade, because I got both today. I bought the graphic novel and got the
And I know you read it. I know you read it
backwards,
kind of backwards.
Yeah. And that's what Slade said to do. And I actually enjoyed it that way because you have more of, you actually know, it's like almost like you get a prequel to.
Yeah.
So you start off with the graphic novel, which basically, well, I'm sorry, you start off with the free comic book.
Right.
And the graphic novel actually ends just like the beginning of the free comic book, right? So, but the entire graphic novel has nothing to do with that.
Right, it's just the prelude.
It's way, way in the past. And it's, I thought it was a great way to read it because you get a good taste by reading the free one first. So I would, by doing it that way, I would recommend, like, grab the free one. If you like it, grab the prequel.
Yeah.
And you'll, you know what I mean? It's like, and then when you, once you've read the free one, I think you'd really be, you're going to be grabbed by it. I think. I thought it was a really good book.
Yeah. I didn't get that opportunity because I read this like 6 months ago.
Right.
We got the prelude, graphic novel months and months ago. You know, it seems like now because it was before May, you know, because it was supposed to help us gear up for Free Comic Book Day and promote the book. So. It was sometime in February, I think, when we got this. So it's been a while since I got it and read it. But, you know, I liked it then. I read the Free Comic Book Day version today. So, it's really cool. Yeah, it's a great story. This is like, you know, Shang-Chi meets Iron Fist meets kind of like Batman Begins almost.
Yep. Yeah, that's what, remember I said that to you in a text today. Yeah. I'm like, I was halfway through the graphic novel and I was like hey I'm loving this, I go and you're like, oh, I don't want to go too deep because it's been a few months since you've read it, and I was like but it's just exactly like you said, the story is, but you don't get that in the free comic book.
No, because he's moved on. It's 15 years later or 20 years later, and he's moved on into his normal life, that obviously the past comes crashing back in on him as it's wont to do in comics. But yeah, this is a lot of fun. A really great story. You know, again, I like Robert Kirkman. I've really liked, I've talked about Invincible several times being such a great series. And obviously I like The Walking Dead. Oblivion Song was really good. So, I mean, I'm apt to give him a read no matter what it is anyways. But this, you know, again, this is another hit, I think. I liked it a lot. I think it's going to be a good series.
Yeah, there's a couple things we'll touch on in, Kryptonite after we locked the door on that one too.
Yep.
All right. Last one.
And then last but not least, maybe my favorite book of all three, though, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. Devil's Highway number one from AWA, which is Artists, Writers, and Artisans. I kind of like the new boom. Like everything they've done lately, I've really liked. This one was written by Ben Percy, who wrote the last, he's writing Year Zero as well, which I also liked.
Yep.
And it has art by Brett Schoonover. So this is kind of like a, well, it's going to be a, it's obviously it's a murder mystery, right?
Well, I called it like, I called
serial
it like
killer.
Jessica Jones mystery horror type.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Yeah, obviously the lead character is very, very, akin to Jessica Jones. But, you know, and once again, this is something I've done more and more lately that I never really used to do, is read the, like, the artist and the writer's notes at the end of the story. And I don't know if you did that for this one, too.
I didn't get a chance to do that on this
But it kind of talks about what the origins of this series are and where it's going to go going forward. And, you know, it's going to revolve, I think, around a serial killer that is probably like a truck driver, and he's, you know, it's gonna, there's gonna be like a series of murders and truck stops across the USA. Is kind of the way it looks like it was described in those notes. And so, yeah, I think this is gonna be good. I really like the art on this. I thought it was really good. And again, the story was really interesting. So I liked it. I mean, maybe not more than Negan Lives. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But I really did like this book a lot. This was the last of the three that I read. And maybe it's a little bit of recency bias. but it stuck with me, and I liked it. So
the ending was brutal. It was awesome. It was great ending. And I don't know. Can you subscribe to a publisher?
It's like, you can.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm about to just, like, you know, text Slade and be like, yeah, just give me everything they got when it comes out.
Yeah, because there's a couple now that they've done that I haven't read, and now I'm really interested in going back to read them.
Which ones?
I haven't read the Hotel.
Good.
I haven't read Hotel, and I haven't read Resistance.
Oh, I read both of those. Good.
And then what was the other one you were talking about? Archangel 8?
Archangel 8.
I haven't read that either. So there's a few that I haven't read, but I've liked all the other ones so much that now I really want to go back and read those too.
I can't remember what the first book was that I picked up, but I know I picked it up the same week that Archangel 8 came out.
Yeah, there's another one too that I...
And we went back to get Archangel 8, and the reason we didn't get Archangel 8 is Joe saw it and he was like, well, I didn't read 1 through 7.
Right.
So, because it says Archangel 8, and you're like, oh, but... Then once you read the book, and then I saw something about the backstory on it in the book that I had picked up, and we're like, whatever other book it was so good, it made me go back and buy that. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're not reading, you know, AWA Upshot, it's
really good, like I said. And,
really good.
You know, I've got plenty of reading time on my hands right now since I cut out a whole publisher. So I've got time to go in and get caught up on some of these other books that normally might have flown under the radar for me. I think that's really why I didn't read the other ones, because I was reading so many other things at the time.
Right.
I just couldn't keep up with it. But now these may supplant some of those other books. Even when I do get off my revenge kick and start reading DC again, some of these may take the place of some of those other books that I was reading. Because, like I said, their writing is that good and the art has been really good. So...
Definitely check out anything AWA or /Upshot. I don't know. What do they call it? Which one is it?
I think it's AWA.
Okay.
That's how it's listed in, like, when we order. Like, that's how they're listed in the previews and stuff.
You can't miss it. It's the top left corner. Can't miss all their books. Just, you see it on the shelf, grab it.
Yeah.
All right. Quickly, you want to do just quickly real world, because we'll get to Kryptonite this week. So what do you got going on in the real? What have you been watching?
Not as much. You know, it's getting really hard. Like, my wife and I went down the, the Investigation Discovery rabbit hole this week on Hulu. And just started watching a bunch of, like, you know, real life murder mysteries. We watched, like, the, Pamela Smart one, and we watched a whole bunch of ones.
That's my wife's wheelhouse. She watches.
I can't remember
what
the one we watched, we just finished, and it's the California Rapist. I can't remember what they called it, but, you know, the one that, you know, had like 58 attacks throughout the 70s and early 80s.
You want me to get Jen? She'll be able to tell
she'll be able to
document
tell
it and everything.
Yeah, we watched that. What else? We started watching the Perry Mason show that came out on HBO.
How's that?
It's actually pretty good. You know,
I'm kind of in an HBO boycott right now.
It's on HBO Max, but
yeah,
it's got some good people in it. Like Matthew Rice is the star, and I like him a lot. He was on The Americans, if you don't know who he is. And then Tatiana Maslany, who was in Orphan Black, and she was so awesome in that show. I like her quite a bit too. So she's in this. John Lithgow. So, I mean, there's some really good actors in it. And like I said, it's a period show. It takes place in the, I guess, early 30s. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I know Perry Mason, like when we were growing up, he was on TV. It was like in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
This is, like I said, this is an older piece. But the first episode started out a little bit slower, but the second one ramped up quite a bit. So that's pretty good. And then last night we watched Ford versus Ferrari, also on HBO Max. So that's a great movie, but it really left me wanting more because I didn't get it on – I watched it on HBO Max. So obviously there was no 4K. There was no Dolby Atmos. Like after watching that and knowing what took place in the movie, I really wanted that surround sound experience for that. So I'm probably going to go out and buy it.
And you get Batman and Jason Bourne facing off.
I know, right?
That was a battle for the ages, huh?
It was.
That's a great scene.
It was a great scene.
That's a great, great movie.
It was really good. And, you know, I didn't know all of that. You know, obviously I know who Carroll Shelby is. But I didn't know Frank Miles at all, and I didn't know the history of any of that.
But your dad was a big car guy.
Yeah, but I didn't know who Frank Miles was. I thought it was, I know some of the names. Like, obviously, I know who Lee Iacocca is, but I didn't realize he was part of Ford because you always associate him with GM.
Yeah, that was John Bernthal, right?
Yeah, John Bernthal.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, so, yeah, really great movie if you haven't seen it. Definitely recommend it, but... Yeah, stay away from HBO Max unless you just don't care about good picture or sound, and then you can watch it there.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely pick that one up though. Let's see. What do I got quickly? We just started before tonight. We started the show The Stranger. I think it's on Netflix. If I remember.
I don't know that one.
Really good. Jen read the book and she wanted to see if I'd watch it with her. It's an 8-episode season. And it is crazy beginning. Like, we just watched the first episode, and I'm like, I'm in. There's, like, six mysteries going on in the first episode. It's insane. And they're crazy.
I'm going to Netflix right now.
it's, like, a crazy, like, twist to episode one that I was like, yeah, I'm in. It was really good. Check that out.
Cool.
We finished Mythic Quest.
I did, too. I knew there was something else we watched.
So good.
It's great. I loved it.
Great episode. They're like 20 to 30 minutes long, and you just blast through them because they're so, so good.
And I love their their pandemic episode that they did. I thought was great.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny. And I watched Jaws 4K
this
week for the home theater podcast.
For your other show? Yeah.
Yep. 4th of July week. Thought that'd be a good one, and it's so good in 4K.
Yeah.
But enough on that. You can listen to that on my Brightside Home Theater podcast that comes out tomorrow.
Shameless plug.
I'm not shameless. Tons of shame. All right. That it?
I think so.
All right. So stick around if you want to hear some spoiler talk about what Negan Live, any of the books that we read this week. We'll be doing some spoiler talk in a minute. But in the meantime, have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great 4th of July. Stay safe in all aspects. You know, don't go getting the virus and don't blow your fingers off.
Exactly.
And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. You can check us out and all the other great podcasts, like the home theater one I just mentioned, at the Nerdy Legion, nerdylegion.com. And hey, John. Did you know that you can rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes?
I did know that you could do that.
Yes, then you should go do it again. I think you're allowed to do it every month. We could use some more reviews.
We could.
That would be great. 5-star reviews, much appreciated. And I think that will do it. All right. Stick around. We're going to lock the door in a second. But have a great weekend. Happy 4th, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right. You got that door all locked up?
I do.
All right.
The Stranger.
What are you looking at? You still looking at The Stranger over there?
Come on. I got sidetracked.
We got a show to do here.
I know. I can do both. I can multitask.
Want to bet?
Yeah.
All right. What book you want to talk about first?
It's up to you.
All right. Negan Lives. Let's move this along. I thought... The story in this, the whole explanation that they give about Lucille, the bat, and they give Like, when I first started, I thought that was his wife. And then he even says, he goes, and I'm sitting here talking to a bat.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just, I thought he meant the stick in the ground. I still didn't know what he was talking about, right? But yeah. As the story goes along, they do a great job, or he does a great job of explaining to people like me exactly what's going on. I mean, sometimes it's explicit. You know, right. He just says, that's not my wife down there. That's a bat. So it's I was like, oh, okay. And then all of the talk that I've ever heard over the years from Walking Dead people, fans, everything started to fill in around.
Right.
And so I thought that was a great job on his part. I thought the book moved perfectly for somebody like me, you know, Walking Dead ignorant. And that's kind of a funny phrase.
Yeah, but, Walking Dead ignorant.
But yeah.
It's all descriptive words.
I know. But yeah, I thought it was great book. I thought it had good twist. And you know, like, right away that she's the Lucy that shows up.
Right.
You know, you kind of know, and he knows that she's not what she... I thought she was going to be a vision. Like, it was in his head or something.
Well, because he said, are you real? And I kind of expected to turn the page and find out that she wasn't, that he was just imagining her. But obviously that didn't turn out to be the case. You know, she was up to no good, which, you know, that's a common theme throughout The Walking Dead. Like, you know, honestly, every time you meet a new person, they're generally out to screw you somehow. So,
yeah, like the first time you and I met.
Exactly.
still waiting. It's a long con.
He's right. I'm really taking my time. I want to make it worth my while. And it turns out that, you know, she was no different. You know, she is up to no good. I think they do, I really liked all the monologue with him and like the would-be killers when he's digging his grave there. He's like, I don't know why they don't kill me. They never kill me. They should just shoot me, you know? Like,
right.
You don't want to give me a chance to fight back. And
right. Actually making fun of the, you know, the old bad guy monologue right. before they do their thing. And that was really funny. I thought the language was pretty funny in here.
Yeah.
Which I know is typical for
the, it is
books.
Typical for the book. Yes. And especially for him. Like it was in the book somewhat throughout the other characters, but he was always very profanity laden in the comics.
Right.
It was part of his character. So that was no different in here. The only thing I wanted to say, and again, I don't know if you read the afterword by Robert Kirkman.
No, I read more books today than I read afterwards.
But, you know, you had mentioned that you were hoping that it would go on. I really don't think it will. Like, this seems to be like a one and done.
Really? With the last page? Don't you want to see what happens next?
Well, you kind of know. Like, because there's a scene at the end of the last issue of The Walking Dead that, you know where, you know the ending. You don't know the journey. You know, obviously the end of this book is the beginning of the journey. You know, he's going back to try to recover his wife's remains that he left on the floor of the hospital, right? That's where he ends this book. But the very end of The Walking Dead, you know, we're in spoilers now, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, too bad if you don't want to know. It ends with a scene of her gravestone back at the house where this took place. So you know that he found and recovered her and laid her to rest. You know,
they never told you the story. They never.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You
don't know that, right? You don't know the journey. You know the ending, but I don't think we're going to get the journey. Is what I'm saying. Like he specifically states at the end of this book that we're probably not going to get it, because we know the ending.
Well, I'm glad I didn't read it. Otherwise,
obviously, there's a lot
to talk about.
Yeah, obviously, there's a lot of story that could take place between.
Yeah,
A and B. Because it could be years. Like, you don't know what the time frame is.
No.
And they do They do have it set up to where he could do 100 issues of a Negan series if he wanted to. But I also think if he wanted to continue in that world, that he wouldn't have ended the series. So I don't know. But I just thought it was kind of like it was a nice epilogue to the series for those that read it. Because, again, you it ended on issue 193, but he last appeared in issue 174. So it was basically 20 issues at the end of that series, because he was supposed to die in that issue. 174 was supposed to be the death of Negan. When he sent the script to Charlie to do the art, and basically Charlie discovered that Negan was going to die, he wrote an email back to Kirkman talking about Negan's death. And the email that he sent basically convinced Robert Kirkman to not kill him, you know, and that's why.
Really?
Yeah. So he ended the book still alive, but he had already plotted out the last 20 issues of the series, and Negan wasn't going to be a part of those because obviously he was supposed to be dead. So he left Negan at the end of that book and never came back to him, and then continued to finish the series like he had planned.
Right.
So this book, again, even though it was never planned to exist, like, I don't think he was ever going to come back and do this book. This was still all the back to comeback stuff.
Right.
That inspired him to do this. We would have never gotten this story. And you know, again, who knows if the response is high enough to this, he may come and do another one shot, or maybe do a graphic novel or something.
Back to the money truck.
Yeah. Not that he needs it, but, you know, nobody ever says no to money. So
That's right. Well, yeah.
but yeah, I don't know. It was really good. I liked it. I thought it was a great story. And, you know, again, and it's hard to read from the perspective of somebody. Like, I knew the story, so I can't put myself in your shoes because I'm not there. But it's nice to know that, like, I could recommend this to people who didn't know anything about it, and they could still read it and enjoy it. Yeah.
I have a hard time believing people have no, like, zero knowledge of, like, Walking Dead existence.
Oh, there's nobody. Yeah, there's nobody out there that has no knowledge.
So you know what it is. I don't know who Negan was. I had no idea. I know of the existence. So as the story played out, like I said, things played in my mind that I have heard through either social media or having conversations with people or overhearing conversations. So I got the gist, and I thought the story played perfectly for somebody like myself. And I thought, like I said, it was a heartfelt story. I mean, his wife, the bat, and now this new Lucy, and now he's about to go on adventure with the new. He has a new Lucy in his life. I just thought it's perfect way to start it back up again.
Well,
maybe even go in a different direction because now he has a live Lucy.
Right. Well, in this book, you know, this book was the same as the series too, in the sense, like, the biggest fallacy of The Walking Dead is that it's a story about zombies. Like, the zombies are just, like, incidental to the entire run of The Walking Dead.
Right.
It is not a book about zombies. And so same thing with this. Like, there's, like, three panels of zombies that pop up in this book, but they have nothing to do with the story or anything, you know?
It's basically a post-apocalyptic environment.
Yeah, it can't be a Walking Dead book without a few zombies. But, like, I think to call The Walking Dead a zombie book is a little reductionist because it's really not what it is. And, like, this followed suit. Like, obviously there's zombies that popped up and made an appearance because they have to. But it's in their contracts. Like, the zombie... the Zombie Writers Association, they have it in their contract that they have to appear. But I think there was just the right amount of zombie in this to, you know, to fulfill the obligation.
That's probably why I liked it.
Yeah. But that's why I'm saying, like you mentioned, you know, and again, it's a task. Like, I don't know if you'll ever go back and read The Walking Dead, but, like, to say you wouldn't read it because you don't like zombie books necessarily, like, that is not what The Walking Dead. At its
but
heart,
I'll never say I won't read anything again. You know,
well, I know.
Now.
I know, but I'm just saying, again, even for me, like, there's a real cost involved of going back and reading The Walking Dead now, you know. It's not cheap to buy 32 graphic novels. It was easy for me because my store owns them, so I read them.
Right. Pull it off the shelf?
Yeah. But for you, you know, it's an investment if you want to read them. But
or I'd have to come work for you for a while.
You'd come work for me for a month and you could read them all. But what I was going to say is, like,
that would be the more expensive route.
Exactly. But what I was going to say is, like, the hindrance to reading these books shouldn't be that you don't enjoy zombie stories, because, like, at its heart, it's not a zombie book, you know. I mean, it's a book about human characters and, you know, their existence. So. Yeah.
No, I mean, even Zombieland and Zombieland Double Tap, very right. similar. Like,
yeah, it's not really zombies, about the zombies.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the story is around the zombies, and right. I get that now. But
yeah.
I'm still not, like, even the video game. It's like video games where, like, Joe's like, oh, they all the first-person shooters have a zombie attachment or part. And I'm like, I don't like that. You know me, John. I like to shoot real people.
Right. I want to be shooting real people. I don't want to be shooting them people.
Come on.
I want to be shooting real live people.
Exactly. I'm a realist.
Right. The world is my video game. I think I just outed myself.
Yeah.
I'm the one they're looking for.
Oh, boy. That's the end of the Bright Side chat, everybody. Have a great week.
Hopefully nobody in law enforcement is listening. So.
Let's get to something a little less violent. So let's talk about Firepower.
Yeah.
reading Firepower backwards.
Yeah.
I thought was much better. And what I wanted to talk briefly is, did you notice that ninja character in the trees?
Yep.
And that ninja character, when you read the free comic book, he's in the trees and they don't reference him at all. From the point of, what's the main character's name? The guy. Anyways.
Oliver? Nope. Not Oliver.
No, it's, yeah, it's not Oliver. It's, yeah, it's like a normal name. Oliver. It's at the beginning of the book. Anyways, nobody recognizes that he's there in the tree at the cookout, right?
Owen, no.
Owen. Is that it?
Yeah, Owen Johnson.
Okay. So
I was close with Oliver.
Owen, who in the free comic book has his little time with his daughter and he races her to the store.
Right.
So you get an idea of powers that he has powers. And the other part is you get an idea that his wife has powers too.
Yes.
She's a super cop, but you don't know why. So even in the free comic book, there's a ton of mystery that you don't know anything about even by the end of it. And you know, you're not sure if the parents, the husband of Owen, and is it Owen? Yeah.
Owen, yeah.
Owen and his wife, if they even know each other has powers, right?
Yeah, right.
By the end of the
know.
Book, you don't know. Yeah. So that book leaves you with so much intrigue, and it's a pretty good action book, and you have this mysterious ninja hanging out in a tree.
Right.
Right? So then you go back and you read the prelude, which is a prequel.
Right.
You read that whole thing and it's a whole backstory of 15 years earlier, all the training that Owen went through. And there's even backstory before the book came out that we don't even get to. And that's where you get into the whole Batman Begins idea. I got that feel too.
Right.
And then at the very end of the book, after he goes through all his training and everything and he learns, and he actually, I think, teaches as well because people are learning from him. But at the end of the book, we're at that cookout. At the beginning of the cookout, and it's before everybody showed up at the cookout, and you see Owen look up in the tree where the ninja was. So
right.
That's never referenced in the comic book, which takes place later from that. So he knows that guy's there.
Right.
The whole time. But in the comic book, in the free comic book, he never glances up at him. He just lets it be.
Right.
So what does that mean? I mean, this... I thought it was a great way to read it backwards like that. I thought it allowed for more intrigue because if you read it the other way, you just see him look up in the tree and then the whole time you know what that ninja is at that point.
Well, right. Well, and even at the end when he's in his bedroom, like he knows he's there.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, again, I didn't have the opportunity to read it that way because I got it way in advance. And, you know, when you open the free comic book day book, it tells you to read the other one first. But it also says it's okay if you don't because,
right.
You know, either way, it'll just serve as a prelude to what you're reading. They weren't really connected at all other than that it was same, obviously the same character. But like you said, it was only connected to the last page of the prelude. And then
right.
Everything else was... you know, was new. So, yeah, like I said, I overall, you know, as I was reading it, it really felt a lot like Iron Fist to me.
Yeah, it did. But the new book doesn't.
No, not at all.
Right. The prelude does, but the new book doesn't. I think there's a lot more to the new book. And that's why I think if you read the prelude first, you'd be kind of turned off and you might not pick up later. Because like you said, you'll say, well, this is a knockoff of Iron Fist, or it's Batman Begins, or it's...
Right. You don't really know anything. That's not what the book is going to be about, because it really isn't when you get down to it.
Right. It's a development story. It's like an origin story of a character, which you're going to have the same type of... I mean, it is Batman Begins through and through.
Yep.
You know, the whole climb the mountain and everything.
Yep.
But then, you know what else I thought of is Remo Williams.
Oh, man, I haven't thought about that movie in
remember that
30
movie?
Years. Yeah, I do remember that movie.
I thought that was – it was a lot like that. I thought they were going to have him walk on water and you know, remember all the things. Because the main guy running the thing on the place at the top of the mountain, whatever his – Chang-Chi or whatever.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Whatever his name was reminded me a lot of that little guy in Remo Williams.
Right.
Right. And how about, did you get the, how about the Air Jordan references?
Yeah.
He loves his Air Jordans all the way through it. Oh, and speaking of which, in that movie, Stranger, there's Air Jordans in that.
Oh, really?
I was like, what the hell? That's two references in one day that's watched today.
Yeah.
Yeah. They find Air Jordans in the woods. They're looking for a body and they find a pair of Air Jordans.
Well, you know what else is funny? Since you're talking about coincidences, and I was going to bring this up off air, because really I don't think anybody needs to hear it, but they're going to hear it now anyway. Like, I think somehow...
You got the door locked.
Somehow, are you connected to my Amazon Fire Stick somehow? Because, like, everything you tell me you're watching is showing up on the front page of my Fire Stick. Like, you said you're watching Chuck, and, like, every time I turn on my Fire Stick, the first thing that pops up is Chuck.
Is that my old Fire Stick?
I don't know, because then...
I think that's my old Fire Stick.
Then right next to Chuck is Psych, right?
Yeah, you've got my old Fire Stick running.
I don't know how, but what's funny is, you know, spoilers, our show for Monday is Aeon Flux. When I logged in last night, the cartoon Aeon Flux was the first thing that popped up on my Fire Stick. So I'm like, what is going on here?
Did you watch any of them?
No, I didn't, but I thought one of my kids was watching Chuck, and that's why it was showing up, because I just figured they were logging into my Amazon Prime and watching Chuck.
John,
but,
come on. We're like, you know, we're like twins.
I know, but that's awesome.
You just...
But I was thinking, what a coincidence. I was like, I was like, why the hell is Aeon Flux showing up on my Fire Stick, you know? How did I get your old Fire Stick? I don't even know how I got
it. To you. That's how you used to watch sports. How old are you?
Oh, geez, you're right.
You've had it for 2 years.
But I didn't realize I didn't know I was still logged in as you. I didn't realize I was still logged in as you.
When I dropped Dish, you just left that in, and because now I don't have Dish anymore.
Yeah,
so
now it doesn't work anymore.
But I left that there so you could get all my local sports.
Oh my god, I forgot.
Like, how'd you forget
Nobody else cares about this but me and you. Well, because I haven't used it in a year and a half because it hasn't been in baseball. So, that's pretty funny.
That's great.
What a small world. Like, it's like, why does this stuff keep popping up?
It's real small. It's mine.
Yeah.
Why does this stuff keep popping up?
That's awesome.
All right. On that note, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast.
So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.